by far my favorite station.
You're the best.
Oh, yeah.
I love you guys.
This is UK Talk Radio with the music you love and the chat you enjoy. Enjoy.
By far my favorite station.
You're the best.
Oh, yeah.
I love you guys.
Right now on UK Talk Radio, we talk to David Lucky about a very interesting subject and his new book, which is called Debunking the Kremlin's Propaganda, A Pathway to Truth and Peace. Well, daily we hear different things, different propaganda from Russia. A lot of this stuff is not true. But the thing about that is that the people of Ukraine will suffer if we start to believe it and governments start to think, well, maybe we don't need to help them after all. They don't need our help. One of the ones that we hear on a regular basis is that NATO has promised never to expand any further to the east. Russia trot this one out on a regular basis. So is it true or false? Did NATO actually say that? Well, we'll find out as we talk to David. But David, if I could ask you, first of all, what are the most common myths or false narratives spread by the Kremlin about Russia's invasion of Ukraine? And how does your book debunk them?
Some of the most common narratives that you will hear from Kremlin propagandists are the following. Number one, they love to say that the reason there is a war and a conflict in Ukraine is not because Russia illegally invaded Ukraine, but because there was a coup that was started in Ukraine in the year 2014. And they claim that this coup was actually started and backed by the United States, the UK, and other Western powers. And so that's just flat out wrong for many reasons. And we thoroughly debunk that in the book. Another common Kremlin propaganda talking point is about NATO. They falsely claim, and you hear this quite often, there are many, many speakers, podcasters, YouTube channels, a lot of very well-known speakers and politicians. They will claim that NATO had broken a promise with Russia and that NATO promised not to expand. In fact, they will say that NATO claimed to that they promised that they would never expand, not one inch eastward. And that is thoroughly wrong. We totally debunk that. What happens is we give a lot of factual evidence and references and so forth. And I can go into those details later. But for the claims, those are two important claims. Now, they also claim that the problems in Ukraine are something that are akin to a border dispute between Russia and Ukraine, and that Western powers, the UK, the United States, the EU, that we should not be involved with that at all, because it's simply a border dispute between Russia and Ukraine, and they will work that out amongst themselves. Those are three top faulty propaganda talking points from Kremlin propagandists. Now, another faulty claim that they will often say is that there were elections held in various Ukrainian territories, and that those territories had a fair election, and that they decided to disavow Ukraine and to become aligned with Russia and literally part of Russia. So that's completely false propaganda. Another faulty claim they say is that Ukraine is moving in a very terrible direction, and that they have now passed laws that make religion or Christianity, certain forms of Christianity, illegal in Ukraine. And so therefore, they're not a good democracy. They're not to be trusted. Again, that's totally false, totally propaganda. We totally debunk that. There's also another claim that Ukraine is a very corrupt country, And so therefore, we should have nothing to do with Ukraine. We should not support Ukraine because they have a lot of corruption, and we should just let them fall to Russia. So there are many others, but those are some of the top Kremlin propaganda points.
Thank you for clearing those up. That's very insightful. So how does debunking the Kremlin's propaganda differ from other works that analyze geopolitical conflicts? I mean, especially in terms of accessibility to general readers.
Yeah, that's a good question also. So there are some very good books out there and research reports that will do a deep dive and go into some very in-depth analysis that are excellent. The difference with this book, Debunking the Kremlin's Propaganda, is this is kind of a primer and a quick reference guide. So some of these other books, you would have to spend an enormous amount of time and energy to read through it. If you do have that time, they're excellent, but the average person is not going to have the time or the energy to be able to dive into these very good but very sophisticated works. And so also they will usually cover maybe one or two or three subjects. My book, Debunking the Kremlin's Propaganda, it's a very easy read, and it lists at least 18 of the major Kremlin talking points. And it gives you many, many debunking points and refutations, along with a lot of references. So in the back of the book, there's a reference section that has 190 credible references that link up to very credible references and sources, such as the BBC, the New York Times, CNN, France 24, and many, many other sources around the world. So they can look at those references and even dive deeper if they want to as well.
And so some fantastic references that we can also check out. So it's always good to have those. Now, in your book, you discuss the impact of propaganda on different groups, including supporters of Ukraine and those misled by false narratives. What strategy as an author do you suggest to effectively counteract misinformation in these groups?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, so I suggest that people counter these narratives whenever they get a chance. Now, this is important because I, as a researcher and an analyst, I continue to listen to the other side. I listen to the propagandists. I listen to a lot of YouTube channels and podcasts that have complete opposite opinions to myself. And I see that very often they will throw out these talking points, and very few people have any information to push back. They just accept it and move on to the next point. Because a lot of these points, you have to have a little bit of knowledge in order to push back on it. So the average person will just say, oh, okay. So for example, you'll hear speakers oftentimes, they will say, oh, well, you know that the United States created a coup in Ukraine in 2014, they replaced the president, and that's the whole problem. And then people just say, oh, really? And then they just move on to the next subject, because you have to know a bit of the history and a bit of the facts in order to counteract that propaganda. And that propaganda, by the way, is completely faulty for many reasons, but you have to have a little bit of information. And again, this book gives people those resources in a very quick and easy format.
And what role does historical context play in exposing the misinformation about NATO's expansion and Russia's, in inverted commas, traditional values narrative?
Regarding NATO, so we have a whole chapter on the NATO situation. So one of the propagandist claims is that NATO promised not to expand one inch to the east. And they claim that this was a promise that was made by United States Secretary of State at the time, James H. Baker. And they claimed that he made that promise to Mikhail Gorbachev, who was the head of the Soviet Union at that time. And Putin himself has quoted this claim many times, and most Kremlin propagandists will quote this often. The problem with that, there are many problems with that claim. Number one, both James Baker and Gorbachev deny that that ever took place. As a matter of fact, there's a video of Mikhail Gorbachev a few years before he died in an interview, and people asked him that exact question: were there any agreements that NATO would not expand? And we provide links in our book to this, by the way, to the video. It's on YouTube. And Gorbachev flat out said that there were no discussions at all about NATO expansion during those years. So not only was there not any discussions at that meeting or in that year, he said that during that whole time frame, and this would have been in 1990 that these discussions would have taken place. So Putin claims that there was an agreement, but the problem is Putin wasn't even in power at that time. In the early 90s, Putin actually was a taxi driver, believe it or not. Once the Soviet Union, he actually admits that. I don't know if you ever heard that, but
I do not know.
Yeah. Well, when the Soviet Union fell apart around 1991, he lost his job as a KGB officer, and so for a period of time, he had to take a job as a taxi driver, and so he was very upset about that. And this also plays into his desire to recreate a form of the Soviet Union, but not exactly the Soviet Union, but something that would be akin to a Russian empire, because he was humiliated during that time frame. But the main point was that he was not there in these 1990 discussions between Gorbachev and Baker. As a matter of fact, Putin did not become the president of Russia until 2000, 10 years later. And there was no written agreement about NATO expansion. And also, if you understand NATO works, NATO started in 1949, and they work off of a charter. There's a NATO charter. And in order for NATO to change any of their policies, they have to amend the charter. Their charter was never amended. So there never was a promise for NATO to not expand. Gorbachev said that it didn't happen. Baker said it didn't happen. Now, there are some historians who write about this, and there was a statement and that's taken out of context. James Baker in some meeting in reference to German reunification, because at that time, Germany was talking about becoming reunified in the early 90s. And so Baker made some statement to somebody, another diplomat, that NATO would not expand to the east in regards to troops in Germany. But it had nothing to do with NATO expansion in general. So the other point is why it's an absurd claim is that Russia always has, and it was the Soviet Union at that time, they always have a lot of lawyers, and everything that they do, they put in writing. Anything that's of importance to them, they will create a treaty, they'll make a contract, they'll make an agreement. But somehow we're supposed to believe that this was some off-the-cuff remark about NATO expansion on a totally different subject, that somehow NATO made a promise that they were not going to expand. And now, therefore, they claim that NATO has broken that agreement because now NATO has expanded and they have more members and so forth. So at any rate, it's a totally faulty, ridiculous claim. But you'll hear that quite often. You'll hear that quite often that NATO caused this problem because they expanded and they made an agreement that they weren't going to expand. And then they'll say, yeah, by the way, they will admit that, yeah, we know it wasn't really put in an agreement or a treaty, but they said that and they went ahead and expanded anyhow. So that's one of the points that we go into quite deeply.
That's an interesting insight because, as you say, that is often quoted. It's been an interesting interview. Got one last question to round off. It's very fascinating. Sure. So how can readers use the tools and insights from this book to engage in productive conversations and debates about the Russian invasion of Ukraine and, I guess, the broader geopolitical issues surrounding it?
So the book is a very handy reference guide. And if people read through it, the way the book works is there are 18 chapters plus an introduction and a preface and an appendix and references. And so each chapter lays out at the beginning of the chapter what the Kremlin propaganda talking points are. So it mentions a narrative and then it follows up with many refutations of that talking point. And if people were to read through the book, they will quickly gain a feel for the reasons why this propaganda is false. So it's a very easy read, and they'll have a great feel for it, and they'll be able to push back when they hear this propaganda. And it's kind of very important to push back on the propaganda because there are real world effects. There are negative effects that are taking place. I believe that the propaganda is actually leading to a prolonging of the war, and it's leading to more people dying because of the propaganda. So for example, in the United States, there was an aid package to Ukraine that was supposed to happen sometime about maybe 8 or 9 months ago. And because of a lot of Russian propaganda literally filtered into the Congress, there are some Congress members, unfortunately, that are pushing Russian propaganda. They actually delayed the package by about 6 months and so forth. They ended up finally pushing it, but it was delayed, and it led to more deaths and more invasion of Ukrainian territory.
It's fascinating. David, it's been a pleasure to talk to you, and you've given us some great insights, and also that it isn't just theory, that it has effect on real life people in the real world, especially the devastating effects in Ukraine. Where can we find your book?
Okay, so the book is on Amazon. You can just do a search for Debunking the Kremlin's Propaganda. The subtitle for the book is A Pathway to Truth and Peace. And the reason for the subtitle is because I believe that if you debunk the propaganda and you embrace the truth, that'll ultimately lead to peace. So if you just search that on Amazon, Debunking the Kremlin's Propaganda, you'll find it. And the book is available in paperback, hardback, and in Kindle versions.
David, it's been a pleasure and a very insightful interview. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, David. Today on UK Talk Radio, I've been talking to David Luckey about this insightful book that will allow you to know what's really going on, Debunking the Kremlin's Propaganda, The Pathway to Truth and Peace. You can find this amazing book on Amazon in print and also Kindle version. It's time to find out the truth. Head over to Amazon and simply tap in Debunking the Kremlin's Propaganda, The Pathway to Truth and Peace. This insightful book is also in the UK Talk Radio Best Books chart of 2024.